Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. In October of 2019, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints held another one of their general conferences, and we've talked about general conference numerous times on this show and the importance of the messages that come forth to the membership from the leadership of the LDS Church. It seemed, Eric, that there was certainly a theme throughout this general conference, and we want to talk about that theme. It has to do with the need for members of the LDS Church to keep covenants. Now, this is not anything new that we have discussed on this show, because covenant keeping certainly is very important to the Latter-day Saint if they hope to receive certain blessings, including the blessing of eternal life, which is described in LDS theology as being synonymous with godhood or exaltation. But wouldn't you also agree, Eric, that during this conference, the message was kind of mixed, and even at times it was confusing? You had leaders talk about the need to keep covenants, but at the same time, don't worry about perfection and things like that. But yet when we talk to Latter-day Saints about the need for keeping covenants in a Mormon context, and we ask Latter-day Saints, are you keeping all your covenants? Are you keeping all of the commandments? What's the usual response we will hear at that time? Well, nobody's perfect. Mm-hmm. And yet, we at this point in the conversation never brought that word up. It's always a word that they tend to bring up when you press the Latter-day Saint to see whether or not they feel confident that they are, in fact, keeping all the necessary covenants and or commandments.
I think you're right, Bill. There was this theme that seemed to go through the 2 days of General Conference. And I think that these four articles that we're going to be looking at here this week are going to show you very clearly what the leadership is still saying today. It's no different than when Spencer W. Kimball wrote in The Miracle of Forgiveness and other leaders talking about the importance of obedience, of keeping the commandments continually, as the unique standard works clearly say. But I found it interesting, as I went through the November Ensign, I looked and saw four different articles that talked about it the most. And there were other articles that we're not going to have a chance to look at that also mentioned covenants. But of those four talks that were given, there's only five different sessions that take place on the 2 days of General Conference, and they were each in different sections. And so the morning of Saturday, the afternoon of Saturday, Sunday morning, and Sunday afternoon. So I find that to be interesting. Of those four, of the five possible times that it could have been talked about, and the four sessions that I mentioned, of the five, are general sessions, not just for a particular gender. So on this year, it was for the females on Saturday night. So they're making it very clear that everybody was going to get a talk that had to do with not only making covenants, but keeping covenants.
Well, let's look at the talk that was given by Elder Dale G. Renlund. He is a member of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, so he would be in the upper 15 men in leadership of the church, a very important position. And that's something else we need to bring out. All four of the talks that we are going to be looking at were given by apostles in the church. So these are not mere mission presidents or a bishop or anyone like this. These are part of what is known as the general authorities in the church, and they are to be taken seriously. His talk was titled Unwavering Commitment to Jesus Christ. He starts off by saying that last April, I had the privilege of dedicating the Kinshasa Democratic Republic of the Congo Temple. Words cannot express the joy the faithful Congolese and I felt to see a temple dedicated in their land. Now, before we go on with what he says, I think we should mention to our listeners, the LDS Church is making some very strong headways in the continent of Africa. You would never think that would have been possible, and it certainly didn't look like it was ever going to be possible prior to 1978, when those of African heritage were banned from holding the priesthood. But when the church made that course correction in 1978, the floodgates really opened towards having the Mormon church be a major influence in this continent. It is certainly a continent that we as Christians need to pray about, because when I was over there in Uganda not long ago, I saw the church's influence throughout Kampala. Their chapel buildings were all over the place. And I saw Mormon missionaries there, and they are having an effect in that country. He goes on to say, individuals who enter the Kinshasa temple see an original painting entitled Congo Falls. It uniquely reminds temple goers of the unwavering commitment required to anchor themselves to Jesus Christ and to follow the covenant path of our Heavenly Father's plan. The waterfalls depicted in the painting call to mind a practice that was common more than a century ago among early converts to Christianity in Congo. Now, we need to stop there, because when he uses this phrase, early converts to Christianity, in Dale Renlund's mind, naturally, this would be referring to what he would think is apostate Christendom. They don't for a minute think that those early converts to quote-unquote Christianity had what was necessary in order to reach the goal of eternal life. Before their conversion, he goes on to say, they worshipped inanimate objects, believing that the items possessed supernatural powers. After conversion, many made a pilgrimage to one of the countless waterfalls along the Congo River, such as the Nzongo Falls. These converts threw their previously idolized objects into the waterfalls as a symbol to God and others that they had discarded their old traditions and accepted Jesus Christ. They intentionally did not throw their objects into calm, shallow waters. They threw them into the churning waters of a massive waterfall where the items became unrecoverable. These actions were a token of a new but unwavering commitment to Jesus Christ.
Bill, off air, we had talked about that some might hear what we're going to say this week and say that we don't believe in doing any kind of obedience and keeping commandments, and that's far from what we're trying to say here. And we wouldn't disagree with the idea of taking their old idols and throwing them into a waterfall where they can't be retrieved as a great way to say you're making a commitment to Jesus Christ. The question is, which Jesus Christ are you making a commitment to, and which gospel are you making a commitment to? And what we're going to find out this week, it's not just all about Jesus and having a relationship with him according to what Mormonism teaches, but rather it's based on you making a covenant. God will keep his end of the bargain if you keep your end of the bargain, and your end of the bargain is keeping the covenants or promises that you will make at baptism, at the sacrament service, and in this temple that he's referring to. People are making these promises that will never be able to be kept. That's much different than what the Bible says we are supposed to be doing.
Well, let me just read you this short little part in his talk. He said, being converted unto the Lord starts with an unwavering commitment to God, followed by making that commitment part of who we are. I don't think any of us would have a problem with that. He says, internalizing such a commitment is a lifelong process that requires patience and ongoing repentance. Now, that to me describes my understanding of sanctification. After we are forgiven of our sins by placing our trust in what Jesus did on the cross at Calvary, we move on to separating ourselves in service to our Lord. No problem there. But then he goes on to say, God invites us to cast our old ways completely out of reach and begin a new life in Christ. The way he words it, I would agree. But is that really what's understood in Mormonism, Eric? God invites us to cast our old ways completely out of reach and begin a new life in Christ? Or is it rather the Mormon God demands that Latter-day Saints cast their old ways completely out of reach when they begin a new life in Christ?
And you're right on that, Bill. In fact, he makes this very clear on page 23 of the Ensign from November 2019. on the right side, he says, our commitment to keep our covenants should not be conditional or vary with changing circumstances in our lives. Our constancy to God should be like the dependable Congo River that flows near the Kinshasa Temple. This river, unlike most rivers in the world, has constant flow all year and pours nearly 11 million gallons, 41.5 million liters of water per second into the Atlantic Ocean. The Savior invited his disciples to be this dependable and steadfast. He said, wherefore, settle this in your hearts, that ye shall do the things which I shall teach and command you. Bill, I was listening to this talk on my way over to the General Conference to be able to do evangelism there that very day. And when I heard that, I thought this would be great for me to talk to people as they were leaving the General Conference and ask them if they were keeping their covenants as the Congo River flows. They knew what I was talking about. In fact, I had a talk with several of them, and they said, how did you know about that? I said, I listened to it on the way over, and they were admitting to me that they were not keeping their covenants as the Congo River flows. And that's what he says is necessary, and that's what Mormonism teaches is necessary, that you keep covenants, not just make them and not break them after that.
So in using that analogy of the Congo River, saying how it flows constantly, if a Latter-day Saint stops in that progress of keeping all the commandments as they're supposed to, because DNC 2515 says you're supposed to keep the commandments continually. When he uses the analogy, our constancy to God should be like the dependable Congo River that flows near the Kinshasa Temple. If the Mormon is not doing that, can they honestly have the assurance that they are going to receive the benefits that are predicated on their ability to keep those covenants in such a manner continually, just like the Congo River flows? I think your question is quite appropriate. And I'm sure you probably didn't have a whole lot of Latter-day Saints stopping and thumping their chest and saying, you're absolutely right, I am. No, that's not usually what we find when we ask Latter-day Saints those kind of questions. Dale Renlund ends his talk this way, I invite you to commit to a lifelong process of discipleship, make and keep covenants.
That's important.
Well, how many covenants must they keep? What do you think Dale Renlund was implying? Some?
No.
A few?
All.
Many? No, all, exactly.
And then how often, Bill?
Well, all the time. Throw your old ways into deep churning waterfalls. Completely bury your weapons of rebellion with no handles sticking out. Because of the atonement of Jesus Christ, making covenants with a real intent to reliably honor them will bless your life forever. And we know that Latter-day Saints, every week in their sacrament service, promise to God that they are going to keep the commandments. In their mind, they're thinking they're going to keep all of them. But yet, how many really follow through and do that? I would argue none of them do. It may be a noble effort, but none of them are going to keep those promises. Their constancy to keeping their covenants is not going to be like the dependable Congo River.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.